Welcome to Dialadork.com's interview with FARC founder Drew Curtis, which took place at the 2005 Nauticon convention in Cleveland, Ohio. For more information, visit the following websites. Dialadork.com, that's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com, FARC at FARC.com, and Nauticon.org. Some material in this interview may be considered inappropriate or indecent by some listeners, so depending on what kind of person you are, now's your chance to turn it off or turn it up.
Well, Drew, will you have a seat and let us talk to you for a sec?
Absolutely, yeah.
We
should
turn this. All right, well, someone else.
Is.
So, Drew Curtis of FARC.com is here with Dialadork of Cleveland, Ohio. Oh,
I got a question right off the bat for you.
Well, I think this might go handle it.
Yeah, I think it will.
Is that on? All right.
Yeah. The question I have is, do you feel guilty at all at the amount of time you've allowed people to waste now at work going to FARC.com?
Because I'm wasting it anyway.
exactly, that's exactly the answer. Before FARC existed, people would just go on smoke breaks every 15 minutes. Now they've got, I'm reading the news.
That's right.
I'm reading the news. I'm staying up on current events.
That's right. No, I'm just kidding. What's it like to have? I mean, it was like one of the most popular websites. Period. Is that true?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah, I
mean, there's no Arbitron ratings.
I guess there aren't. I mean, how's it? You make money off of it?
A little bit, not too much though.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like this is my third business, and I'm being very conservative. I figure at some point we're gonna get our asses sued off.
You haven't already?
Yeah, surprisingly. I know it's a shocking to me. It's just everybody else. Yeah, it's just a matter of time. And so we're kind of like, I mean, we're making more money than we're spending, but we're stocking it up for the day when they come out.
For the legal fund.
Yeah, just a matter of time. There's been a dozen people that have tried so far. It's just a matter of time.
What are you afraid of?
More like the DMCA stuff. Bullshit stuff that like you can do in print but not on online anymore because of the way that the law works. So stuff that ought to be legal but isn't because that law has never been overturned. So it's just a matter of time before somebody comes after us. And the way I explain it to people is like there's a difference between can sue and will win. You can sue people for anything. Whether or not you will win is a whole other story.
Sure.
But oftentimes people will sue in order to prevent you from.
I mean, it's a deterrent.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to, the people that, like, well, a good example this week, the people that have been suing Wendy's for finding a finger in their chili.
Yeah.
And the latest thing recently is that they had an aunt that died, and the recent theory is that they cut the finger off of their dead aunt and took it to Wendy's and put it in the chili.
Right. Oh, I saw that headline today, and then the last part was now they sue for embarrassment.
The minute I saw that, I thought, there's no fucking way some guy lost a finger into Wendy's chili and didn't tell his superior, oh, by the way, Larry, earlier today on my shift, my finger got cut off and went into the chili.
Yeah.
After it was all ground up.
I'm pretty sure
there's no way that
didn't know where it went. So
but nah. My point being, like, the number of things that would have to happen for that to actually occur and be legitimate, not likely.
Strange Brew has the right.
Well, I'm pretty sure that the Wendy's chili has old. Has hamburgers in it.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they make it every day.
Sometimes they don't even tear it up.
No, the people on FARC that were boasting that worked at Wendy's said that the stuff that's in Wendy's chili, it's the stuff they didn't sell the week before.
Right.
They made it into hamburgers, then they ground it up again. The point is, for a finger to actually get in there, it had to go like, they finished making the chili, and then Larry cut his pinky finger off. That's what it takes. So the fact that somebody could find one, the minute that thing popped up, I do a radio show in Lexington, every Thursday morning, and the minute that thing popped up, I said, my BS meter is pegged at 95% on this one.
Absolutely.
There's no fucking way this finger actually showed up in the chili without somebody bringing it there and dropping it in.
When did you implement a Florida tag? And
oh,
why?
It's been about 2.5 years.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. Well, it's self-explanatory.
Everything crazy.
Yeah. Well, what's funny was is like I don't like putting extra link tags in because you just don't want to waste that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we just had enough outcry after the 2000 election to where finally I was like, okay, we'll test it out. We'll see how this goes. I don't think this warrants it, but we'll see how it happens. And honest to God, after a week, it was done.
What's a Florida tag?
You don't really understand the FARC format.
Hey, let's pull. Why don't we pull it up here? Hold on a second.
Well, just from the laywoman's perspective. I know what FARC is. I hear about FARC all the
here,
time.
Here, why don't you come take a look? Take a look here.
So Florida didn't last?
No, it did.
Oh, it did?
This is what FARC looks like. I didn't think it was going to last.
What FARC looks like. It's not news. It's FARC.com. And link after link after link.
No, I'm convinced now. I'm a believer.
This is the link to the item of interest. Uh-huh. Right? This is the tag, if you will, or the category.
You're pointing to columns, yes.
This right
yep,
here.
Right there,
this is the headline.
Tagline.
And this is the link to the associated blog, forum, whatever.
You can pick up links like that.
Yeah. And so a number of... what's it up to? How many tags do you have? Like 30 or 40?
On the topic tags? You mean?
Yeah, these. Things.
I think 35.
35.
That are actively used, 30, I think.
There's the boobies tag. Has little jiggling.
That's what everybody looks for.
Yeah.
Little jiggling boobies.
Boobies.
But their effort, just for your edification, there is a wiener's tag.
There is a wiener's
hot
tag.
Hot dog with mustard.
In fact, I ran one today. I scrolled out, actually. Did that go by already? You got wiped out the baby scratch.
I showed up where the quick link to you all classifies in boobies. How did you do that?
There was
amazing. How are you, man?
There was a wiener's link that was submitted. We had a database crash, so I thought 2 days worth of stuff.
Oh, no.
There was a wiener's link that was submitted with a guy that was actually the subject of the wiener's link was named Wenner.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
I was French though. So.
That'll
happen.
Who the heck's taking care of the site while you're at golf?
Yeah.
When I'm there, I'm doing it all myself. When I'm not there, there are three other guys that kick in. There's a couple late night guys. Like normally, I'm home. Like if I'm not doing anything, this past week, I'm home. Like when I wake up until about 5 o'clock in the evening, and I play soccer in the evenings normally. And then afterwards, I go out and have beer. And when I have beer, I don't get online. I mean, I do, but I'm doing anything. I don't answer email. I don't get on eBay. I don't do anything. Because let me tell you, I have had some horrible eBay track records being drunk. It's bad.
Drunk typing is not
good. So I just stay the hell off. And so as a result, there's some guys that pick up the slack when I'm not on there.
Are they in different time zones? Like you have a New Zealand guy?
No, actually they're not. One of the guys is in Central. I think that's about it. But the way that it works is we staggered the submissions, so they actually come out 8 hours delay at most.
Okay. What's why should somebody become total FARC? Why should somebody join?
You know what?
FARC?
Here's the problem. I can't honestly justify it because what it actually is.
It's basically like is something
I
drew.
I could never in a million years understand why anybody would want to actually see all the links that we get.
This is every single submission.
Yeah, it's
comes
all,
through
yeah,
in total FARC.
Exactly. I have no idea, but no, seriously, I have no idea why anybody would want to see that.
It's like staggering. The most,
it is. It's too much. It's crazy. I have read that every
day. They seem to like it. They seem to like it.
Well, what's happened is that it isn't what it is. It's that a community has grown around it.
Yeah.
And so it's not what we're doing. It's just there's kind of it's hit critical
this
mass.
This is where they belong.
Yeah, well, it's
where they fit in.
It reminds me of the way that what FARC was when it started out back in 2000 was where it was really cool. There was a small number of people on board. Everybody was nice. The comments, even a political thread, had really good answers. And then that disappeared when we got too big. But now Total FARC is kind of picking up the slack.
Right. Well, Total FARC's become the intimate.
It's the same thing that FARC was 4 years ago.
And eventually they'll be like total FARC.
Yeah. Actually, I doubt it because people that are assholes won't pay $5 a month.
Right.
So I think that's what it'll kill them.
Do you call me an asshole?
Yes. I'm just saying that people that would be assholes, they would kill the community.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. People will troll a website for free, they won't pay for it.
I mean, not that it was a joyous occasion or anything by any means, but I definitely was entertained by the Pope thread. That thing got big in our.
Oh, there were several of them. Is the problem?
About a couple hours, it was an infinity.
You usually read the thread.
The Pope is dying.
Yeah.
The Pope is still dying. The problem is we've got to mirror the media. And the problem is like anything that happens, I mean, we have to put up there. And there are so many things that I would like to avoid, but we just have to do it. The 3 days of the Pope, okay, he's starting to die. He's still dying. He's got a tracheotomy. He's got a feeding tube. He's still not looking that good. See, the problem is with the media is when they're reporting on a story that's important, but nothing has actually changed, they still have to invent something to go along with it. This is not a tinfoil hat invention. They don't pull shit in that wasn't happening already. They just have to reinterpret what's going on.
It's kind of like incrementally changing
exactly.
The thing.
So 6 hours ago, the Pope wasn't looking good. 6 hours later, he's not looking as good as he was 6 hours ago.
Slightly improved.
Yeah. Well, no, they'll kind of flick back and forth, but they have to get a new angle because they can't re-report.
It's like watching ourselves dead and then retracted it.
Well, they love that because the minute that it wasn't, honestly don't even know if the Italian press per se said that. I think that maybe somebody in Italy said that they were dead. But see, the media's big caveat is somebody else said it, therefore you can't sue me for slander. Because
we're
I can say this source that I can't tell you who it is said that Michael Jackson fucked a small child. Well, that's not slander because the source actually may have said that.
That somebody said it, right?
That's not slander. I heard some guy say that.
The best joke
so they love that.
That's what
the media
said.
Will jump over that shit all day long.
Well, based on your experience,
so I don't know.
Yeah.
You got a prediction about how the Michael Jackson case is going to turn out?
He will be innocent.
No way.
He has enough money, of course.
Here's the thing, okay? I have read every single Michael Jackson thread that's come through, and I have seen every single thing, and corroborating that on top of what the smoking gun has been coming through with, these guys have no case. Michael Jackson is absolutely guilty of being a weird freak.
Yes.
But he is not guilty of ever having molested a child.
You see the...
No, I don't. Without a doubt. And like I said...
OJ
actually killed
him. Oh, he definitely did. He did it, but he was framed at the same time.
OJ's a murderer that never got convicted, without
a
doubt.
You heard someone say that.
Say what?
Say that OJ was absolutely... You don't want to say that you said that, right?
Oh, right, exactly, yeah.
I heard someone say
it was reported that. Yeah, you're right. Good call.
You
probably saved my ass. Exactly. No, I don't think Michael Jackson did it. I'll tell you why, too, because some of the stuff that's been coming out of the case on the side has been absolutely hilarious. The jurors in the case, there are two jurors in the case that have been openly laughing at the prosecution witnesses. Half of the witnesses the prosecution has brought on the stand have turned against them on the stand to their shock and horror. And I had my mom was an attorney, and that never happened to me. That is a rare thing. On top of that, having two jurors openly laughing at everything that all of the prosecution's witnesses are saying. On top of that, apparently the Sky Magazine, or not Sky Magazine, the Sky News in England was reporting overhearing bathroom conversations from the jurors when they were at, where they were basically mocking the prosecution's testimony. And it's not even just that, like specific prosecution witnesses have been melted down on the stand to actually recant their testimony. It's to the point where this makes absolutely no sense at all. I mean, like I said, the guy, he's a freak. I would never let my kid go talk to this guy in a million years. He is weird. He is creepy. He's had the worst plastic surgery of anybody you could possibly come up with. But I do not think this man has molested children. I don't. I honestly don't.
Did you ever see that video footage of him and Emmanuel Lewis, though?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty really fucking creepy.
It's
and then
hot.
Yeah. Then he tried to
check. Yeah.
You can get it on our website for $24.99.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
He tried to check into a hotel with him, and that's when Emmanuel Lewis's parents severed the.
Yeah. No, I think everything on this case reads that Michael Jackson is freaky, but it also reads from the prosecution that this is basically a gold digging case.
The prosecutor's known that he's been trying to
get him. The defense has been slaughtering the prosecution's witnesses and testimony.
The police that dug all this up.
Yeah. Well, there was. Speaking of the police, the smoking gun has been on this case for a while, and I've been talking to these guys nonstop. Every time I'm in New York City, I go hang out with these guys. They've been checking this out, too, and they have some independent L.A. testimony. LAPD investigated this case. LAPD, with an independent investigation, the Los Angeles social workers independently investigating this, and another group independently investigating it, all independently concluded that there was no merit to this case. which, like I said again, I don't want to believe it because I think Michael James is a complete fucking freak. I would never send my kid near this guy. He's completely capable of doing it, but I think in this particular case that he's being taken advantage of. I really do. And that sucks. It absolutely sucks.
I feel like the less attention he gets is the best thing that could happen.
I think so too. I do, absolutely. And I also think that this isn't good for him at all, and I think he'd rather be out of the scene on this as well.
So you're up on all the news.
Yeah.
Are your parents proud? Our Drew is, he always knows what's going on.
Actually, yeah, they are.
I would be.
But you know what's really freaky is? My great grandmother is one of the people who, like, my grandparents have been trying to warn us off of going to visit her because she's supposedly frail, but she's living on her own. She's 105 years old, and the minute you walk into our house, she immediately wants to talk about Iraq or anything else that's going on. My grandmother is, like, totally on top of this stuff, so I guess it's a family trait or something. I don't know.
Well, up until
your mom's a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, she's not. Actually, she's a Lutheran pastor.
Oh, wow.
Go ahead. Ask the question, Yoko. Go ahead.
Yeah, hit it.
So my job has been interviews on the streets. I got a bunch of questions for you. I'll try to keep it to, like, two.
Don't matter to me. Go away.
But how many hours a day do you spend sifting through all of the stuff that you go through and post?
It takes as much time as I have,
I think.
Yeah. So, what are you talking, 12, 15, how many hours?
I had a lot of people laughing at Time Magazine did an interview with me last year, and it's good that we're talking now because this will make more sense now than any other time. When Time did the initial interview with me, it was during the NCAA tournament. And
this past one?
No, the one last year.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a big Kentucky fan, and when I'm talking to them, the way the interview they printed said is that Drew spends 2 hours a day, and then he goes out to the sports bar the rest of the afternoon. That's what it said. Now, here's the context of that interview. The context was, so they called me up the Friday after the Thursday that the NCAA tournament started. Okay, so you have 32 games going, or no, 16 games going that day of 32 teams.
Right.
I had already been out the day before, and so they're like, so how much time does it take you every day? And I said, well, for example, today, I got up at 7:30, and then I went out at 9:30, and I was at the sports bar drinking the rest of the afternoon until the evening. What got printed was Drew spends 2 hours a day working on the park, and then he goes to the sports bar and he drinks the rest of the day.
Yeah, rookie.
Well, so
right
that
there.
Day, yeah, it's exactly what I did. On a day when nothing's going on, if I'm home 18 hours a day, I spend 18 hours a day working.
Wow.
18.
Yeah, well, but it isn't work.
Yeah, or
labor of love.
It isn't even labor of love.
I don't even know what that is.
People use the term labor of love when they describe something that they feel like they have to do, but it's really a
this
good thing.
This is just
thing.
Fun.
No, it's absolutely fun, and the only people that corroborate this might be my wife, who I used to tell people it takes no time at all, but she's really, no, wait a minute. No, it's not no time at all, but I just don't notice that it takes any time at all.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's like, it's a good time.
You get a lot of people saying, hey, Drew, check out this site right here.
Awesome.
They never have.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, check out this site, man.
I check it all. Well, I got some bad news for you. 99 times out of 100, I'm going to say it's shit.
What the hell is that?
It's the Pope, the Sweet Sistine Bracket.
Oh, the Sweet Sistine Bracket.
I've seen that.
Right,
wow,
yeah.
Well,
wait.
Not bad.
They're talking about which Cardinals is going to be in next
year. Yeah,
I've seen that. It's a good one. I like that.
So did you get to quit your day job, or are you still working a day job?
I'm not technically working a day job. The last thing I was doing was doing some database consulting for a bunch of companies. I still have 4 clients. But that's not technically it either because I've worked for them for so long. They're good friends of mine now. So it's kind of a favor, kind of they'll fly me to where they are and I'll get a free weekend. Like, for example, the reason that there's a fart party in Charleston, South Carolina twice a year is because one of my clients is in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
And there you go.
Yeah, and so they fly me down there to work in their database twice a year. Then I do that. And then I go to Charleston on the weekends and get drunk for 72 hours. And Charleston rocks. Oh, my God. It's like there are very few places I would move to other than where I live right now in the United States, but Charleston is one of them, without a doubt.
Why? What's so great about it? I've never been there.
It's a beautiful city. Cost of living is not that high. the restaurants are bar none, like top of the line. Like they have in the nightlife is phenomenal.
Yeah, the bars are incredible.
Yeah,
but the
pace of life down there.
Yeah,
and the drinks are strong, and they have to use all the little bottles.
Little airline bottles. That's right. But they overturned that in the last election, so that's going the way the dinosaurs.
Ah, very good.
Yeah. I hear the drinks were actually technically stronger.
Actually, yeah, they were. It's actually not good that they turned.
Well, right.
Yeah,
they had like higher drunk driving incidents than any other state.
Yeah, because they used the airline bottles. They were all properly measured. Their drinks were stronger.
Like 1.5 ounces or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That's right. Yeah.
When I'm on the airplane, I get tooled.
Yeah.
Wait, Drew, what is a Fark party? You guys all probably know this, but I don't know this. What's a Fark party?
Where'd Froggy go? Froggy, didn't he host the first
Fark
party?
Yeah, Froggy hosted the first. Here we go.
Froggy!
She must know what a Fark party is.
What's a Fark party?
Since you did the first one.
It's a farking good time, for one. Basically, it's a bunch of people that read and check out the website that want to hang out and share drinks and share stories, and they get together, and hijinks ensues.
Hilarious.
Your dog wants steak.
Yeah.
What other cliche can I throw in?
A weekend of drinking.
Hilarity, Jerry.
Yeah, basically. Just an evening. It's just like, let's all go to a bar and hang out and talk.
Yeah. I haven't been to one, unfortunately, in a while because I have, like, a life and
when are you gonna
no
host
money.
Another one, dude?
Well,
organize another one.
That's
you're at one.
Yeah, we are basically.
What more do you?
Exactly.
This is a $15,000 fart party,
what
dude.
About,
what
like,
more
actually,
can I do
been,
for
we've
you?
Been talking to Froggy about, we've been talking to Froggy about doing the World Fart Con.
A
next
fart
year.
Con, no doubt about it. Man. In Lexington, you should do it in Lexington.
Not in Lexington, but
no.
We're talking about it.
Yeah, we're discussing it.
His people are going to talk to my people, and we're going to have a people party, and we're going to do. Man, if I ever have lunch during the. Not a con at all this weekend, that'd be freaking amazing. So yeah, it's a good time.
Where does Drew Curtis go? Where are your essential websites? Where do you like to go?
It's kind of funny. I'll give you two that you've heard of and one that you haven't. The two you've heard of is Smoking Gun,
Homestar Runner.
The one you haven't heard of is Stratfor.
You're right.
Stratfor.org.
We're going.
Yeah.
What is it?
What's STRATFOR.org.
Stratfor.
They're a political think tank. They get paid for being right. If you want to know what's going on in the world, they have a subscription. I think their low-end subscription is $100 a year. Their high-end is $400 a year. But I get a lot of people complaining to me talking about how like they don't feel like they're getting news that's unfiltered. These guys get paid for being right about world political stuff.
So what's your username and password?
It's WCKME. No, those guys. Well, what's funny was I paid for my first subscription, and 3 months later, somebody over there was doing an audit of the account and saw that I'd signed up for it, and they gave it to me for free.
Oh, sweet.
Because all the guys over there read Fart.
Yes,
I didn't know.
You don't pay for a lot of drinks anymore, do you?
No. Not very often, no.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
You sure
up until Fark, like, just, you know, exploded, I mean, were you kind of struggling, kind of maybe felt like you were disappointed in the way things were going, and all of a sudden, boom, this thing takes off? Or were you actually kind of doing okay, and then all of a sudden...
Well, doing okay is kind of mitigate response.
Well, in your own mind, and maybe the way you feel like your family was viewing you, you know, like you want to please your parents and everything else to make them proud.
I was doing all right because I worked for somebody else for 9 months of my life. I graduated college in 1995. I worked for Kentucky State Government for 9 months. I started my first business, which was an internet service provider, which I ended up selling in an all-stock transaction, which sucks when the other company's not publicly traded. Not a whoops. It was more like, thank God I'm not going bankrupt now. This is great. But I've basically been self-employed for my entire life.
Oh, okay.
So that kind of helps out a lot. But having done that long enough, I have a lot of respect for being self-employed and having something take off just like out of the blue. My business role model is a guy who's actually a Farker, whom I first met right before the ISP folded. And he came by to talk to me initially. We were talking about financing the ISP. But he came by and he said, honestly, he said, I'm going to tell you the reason I'm here is because, not because you're ISP, but because of FARC. He said, you're ISP, it's screwed. Without a doubt. He said, but I want to talk to you about FARC and try to figure out a way to make money. And we didn't. But I talked to this guy about his background. This guy was fascinating. He started his first company in the early 1980s. At the time, when I was a little kid, I was born in 1973. When I was a little kid, I had a bank account. And before I was 10 years old, my bank account, my savings account, was making 10% a year. In the early 1980s, borrowing money from a bank was like having a credit card. Interest rates were 20%.
Right.
They were insane.
That's right.
And that's when this guy started his first business. And it went out of business because he couldn't pay the interest rates, because it was basically like, what if you started a business with your credit cards?
Right.
Well, you would go under because you can't pay the interest. That's what happened to him. Second business, he got stabbed in the back by a partner. Third business, divorce. Fourth business.
This is your role model.
Yeah, it is.
It's like it's a serial entrepreneur.
His fifth business, in 1997, this guy started a computer consulting company. In 1999, some guys came by and said, we'll give you $3 million cash for it. Walked into his office one day, said, $3 million, signed on the dotted line. He said, hell yeah. Here it is. Take it. And then he joined an angel investing firm in St. Louis to try to find ways to kind of expand his fortune. And so, you know, he's telling me this, and I said, so what did you invest in? And he said, nothing. Ever. He was in this firm for 3 years. He never invested a dime in a company.
Idiots.
Because during the dot-com era, he had sold his business in 1999, made his money, and had spent 20 years being the guy on the losing end of the stick, and now had his cash and was not about to lose it, and so was looking at things through the viewpoint of being a guy who had been in the business and seeing dot-com bullshit coming in front of his face to try to invest, and he didn't see a damn thing. He said, there was this one company that I kind of wish I'd invested in, and at the time, he said, I still don't know how it played out, but later on, he's like, no, it's crap. It folded, too. And that's why this guy is my hero, is because this guy was not an idiot. This guy didn't do anything particularly wrong that anybody else did particularly wrong. But he was a moron in the eyes of everybody he knew until 1997. 16 years into being a self-entrepreneur, he was an idiot until he sold out. And so having met a guy like that, and having been in a situation where my first company basically went down the drain, and my second company went down the crapper because I trusted a good buddy of mine to stab me in the back, to have a third company, which is
like
basically what FARC, do basically kind of like floating along, all of a sudden just like rocket off of the stratosphere, that's a lightning strike. That's not anything I did.
Right.
I mean, like I tell people, I said, my only skill is that I didn't fuck it up. That's it. That's all I'm going to take credit for. Everything else, I can tell you.
What
is
it,
I don't know.
What does it take to host a FARC these days?
It's not that bad because we're all text and small images.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's not that bad. I mean,
plus it crashes for a fucking week. Who cares?
Exactly. And actually, that's funny, too, because you know what? The reason we've been down so long is because we've been, like, drinking. No shit. No shit. Honest to God. It's because it's been kind of an obscure problem, and we've been kind of curious to figure out what's actually going on. Yeah, that's it. I mean, we could have solved this, like, in a minute by throwing the box out the window and buying another $2,000 machine and putting it in place. This would have been done, like, you know, the same day.
That's no fun.
No, but it's weird enough, and, like, actually, the head guy is over.
Did you guys still invite the whole LiveJournal thing with that update thing? Is that what's going on there?
Well, I mean, you're talking about, like, what's going on with the website.
First one I saw, LiveJournal crashed, and they had the big...
Oh, yeah, no. This was easy to fix, but we wanted to know why it was happening. It's been taking a while, and we actually got the head guys over at FreeBSD. In fact, Bruce Paul has been consulting with
what?
Us.
You say FreeBSD?
FreeBSD, yeah. Yeah, Bill Paul and a couple other guys, like the guy that actually wrote the Adaptech driver for BSD, Bill Paul. Scott somebody.
Scott Long?
Yeah, Scott Long. I've been talking to us about...
Credibility!
We're the coolest guys on the planet. Actually, Bill
Except
actually...
screw-up driver.
Well, Bill even wrote us an email. He's like, hey, how's it going? I heard you guys have been having some trouble. Let us know how we can help you out. And this really is me, by the way. And so we've been just kind of emailing back and forth, but the upshot of it is, like, it's something we could, like I said, we could have just thrown the box out the window and replaced it, but just kind of been curious how it is. And here's the cool thing. When FARC goes down, I get like 12 hours of peace. Because FARC runs 24 hours a day.
Sure does.
When I go to bed, the Europeans wake up and start submitting shit. So when I wake up the next morning, I got 300 articles to read. When FARC crashes, I wake up the next morning and I got nothing to do. It's great. I can sleep until 9 and I've got... it's great.
Have you ever taken a vacation from it entirely?
Well, I mean, sort of.
It's like little mini vacations like this, man.
The best example I can give for that is like in 2002, we did a little Europe tour. Me and my wife and Jeff, who was one of the guys who picks links, took off for 3 weeks. And one of the other guys that picks links took it over 3 weeks. And at the time, we were making 3.7 million page views a week. And every week we were gone, during those 3 weeks, we dropped 100,000 page views.
That's craziness.
Until I came back, and within 2 days, we were right back. The week I was back, right back to 3.7 million.
Did you publish that you were gone?
Nope, no one had any idea. But towards the end of the third week, I was getting emails like, what's wrong with Fark? Are you okay? You had a bad time.
Was it like the
quality's down. We really can't figure out what's going on, but something's not really working.
Was it the taglines?
It wasn't anything specific, but people started detecting that something wasn't quite right.
So there's a little bit of that Drew Curtis magic.
Apparently. Our intellectual proprietary swears she can tell when I'm not there.
Interesting.
She swears again. There are three guys that help pick links. There's one guy who is absolutely spot on exactly what I like. Yeah. There's one guy who's usually good, and there's one guy I can tell when he's not taking his meds. And it just kind of depends on who's running it that day. But I mean, it whatever it is, I can tell you. I don't think it's necessarily like it's not like I've got the whatever it is. It's just some kind of weird, you know, conglomerate.
Maybe.
How many get approved?
Less than 1%.
So there's a lot of
what's
I can tell you that the Dial-A-Dork got rejected.
Stuff that makes me laugh.
It has to be something that makes you
morning.
Laugh.
Yeah.
Fix it?
I don't know.
A good example of that.
I submitted it this morning.
It's not about the article. It's about the tagline. When the Columbia crashed last year, first off, I was asleep.
That made you
so laugh. I missed it. No. But by 2 or 3 days later, this tagline came in, and I honestly got debated this thing for like, I actually had to call other people up. And that's this only happened like twice, but I had to call other people up and say, should I really post this? And the tagline was, I should give you the article. The article was when the Columbia wrecked, it sprayed debris all across like Texas and Louisiana. And what they told people was, don't touch the debris, you could die. So if you see anything, call people. And we'll send out the FBI or whoever the hell comes to pick the shit up, and they'll take it, and they'll, you know, don't worry
about
it.
They won't die.
Exactly. So, but what happened was is that it kind of backfired on them because people started searching around in the woods and stuff to try to find stuff because they were, you know, trying to be patriotic and help out the government.
Right, right.
And find stuff that might have been, you know, debris from the shuttle.
A bunch of false positives.
Yeah. So there's an article that got published about stuff that people were turning in that they thought was from the space shuttle that wasn't.
Space dildo.
up into it, like tires. And like, you know, circuit boards from old computers, and like pieces of toast. Yeah, pieces of toast. And the tagline that came on this article was, just because the Columbia is toast does not mean that toast is the Columbia. And I read that, and this is 3 days after it crashed, right? Yeah. 3 days later, I realized, I was like, I died laughing. I was like, ooh. But that's not
that's
very
pretty,
funny.
That's pretty.
But all it is. But I was not. And I struggled. I was like, fuck it. I'm putting it up.
I thought you guys wrote all the headlines, but the submitters do it?
And submitters write 80% of it, and we either tweak it, I write maybe 10% of it.
Okay.
Are you the one that takes on the hilarity or jailarity or whatever?
No, actually, those come in now, too, actually. Yeah.
Well, everyone's got the idea.
Yeah. I'm usually the guy that tacks on the Duke
stuff. Can I ask one question real quick? Who is Yammering Splat Vector? He's awesome.
Yeah, it's just one
he
of the regulars.
He or she is awesome.
Yeah, one of
He's
the regulars.
He's a great Photoshopper.
Yeah. We have some fantastic regulars.
The Photoshops are unbelievable. In fact,
yeah.
I am
blown away.
I do not know why, but I cannot. I cannot stop laughing. It's so played out, but I cannot stop laughing when the fucking Admiral Akbar.
Yeah.
It's a trap. It kills me every time. When the guy put him on a ham.
Yeah.
It's a ham. Like that. And it was Akbar's face on like a spiral sliced ham.
It's because when you go back and watch Return of the Jedi, that's all he does.
It's a trap.
And basically, the Rebel fleet shows up to attack the Death Star.
Right.
And the minute they get there, Akbar's like, it's a trap. Let's leave. Let's go. And Lando goes, no, let's hang in there. And they start crashing into the shield generator. Like, let's leave. Let's go. All the commander of the Rebel fleet that's going to knock out the Empire wants them from the minute they show up is run like hell. And that's why it's funny, because that's when you watch it again and you're like, this guy's a puss. What the hell is this guy? How did this guy get in charge of the Rebel fleet, of all people?
It's unbelievable. It's a trap. It's a trap. Kills me every single time.
That's why it cracks me.
The guy with the fat guy with the mustard.
Yeah, that guy actually is a real guy.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, he's a comedian in Toronto.
That's hilarious.
He's hosted Toronto Fart Park.
Where did the sharp knees guy come from? Did somebody actually say that?
No, it's a joke about the boobies links.
Well, somebody complains about some like.
Yeah, the joke is like no matter how attractive the chick is in the boobies links, somebody's gonna be like, she's ugly.
I know what I wanted to ask you, fake or real? Well, you know, what's your take on that?
We took a poll on Fark. 90% of Fark readers prefer real.
Sure, absolutely.
Under all circumstances.
Yeah,
that's like what most guys I've talked
like one in a hundred, like one in a hundred look good, like Janine, really? Linda.
Actually, my theory is all fake boobs look good clothed.
That's right.
The minute the clothes come off, right. You're like, oh my god, what did you do? Oh my god, you were at one time attractive.
Yeah.
Oh man.
There's only a few out there that really look. They really look good.
Like, in my opinion, there are none that look good naked. Zero.
I agree. No. I got a couple.
Well, I mean, there's always an exception, but in general, I mean, if you want to like
Janine Lindemold, you know who that is, right?
Yeah.
I think hers look good. Yeah, they're fake, but they look good.
Yeah. Well, depends on how you do it.
You had a question.
Sorry, go ahead.
That was good.
We can talk about boobs all night.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say that I prefer fake. I really think.
Yeah, fake clothes probably. You don't like the fake naked, do you?
Oh, why would I like fake boobs? I mean, no, I don't like fake boobs. But
yeah.
I had a question that's really it fitted it better a second ago. But you were talking about like whether or not you should publish something like the whole is it tasteless? Is it bad?
Yeah.
Like what kind of censorship do you impose on the site? I mean, is that the wrong word? But I mean, like what taste do you impose on the site?
The quality basically is like I don't like the stuff where people just get hurt for no reason. It's kind of there's between like stupid and asinine. Stupid is kind of like two guys go out and hurt themselves. Well, that's stupid. But two guys go out and they attack somebody else. Well, you know, that's not cool at all. So it just kind of depends. It's got to be funny. And usually
it's
if
okay
somebody,
when people hurt themselves.
Yeah,
it's not okay
exactly.
When people hurt others.
Somebody doesn't hurt themselves. It's kind of like, but we've run into some trouble with that too lately. Darwin type stuff especially. The problem is Fark has got such a reach now that when something like that happens, I will get an email from people to know whoever it is that happened. Like the first time that happened was there was a guy that died. It was in, I want to say Canada, but I'm sure I'm not remembering this right, where they're having a spitting contest in the 11th floor apartment building.
Oh no!
They're spitting off the side of the apartment building, and somebody got a running start and then hit the railing.
You're kidding me!
And flipped over, so went off. And that's hilarious, let it die. And we posted it. But then, I mean, literally, the one that the email that sticks in my mind was a guy that was there at the party. And he's like, I've been a Fark fan for years. And he's like, I know you guys are irreverent. And I know that I've laughed at this every single other time. But I was there and I knew the guy. And I cannot for the life of me feel like this is funny. He's like, I apologize for saying this. He's like, but in this particular case, being the guy that was there, he's like, I don't think this was funny at all. I don't. And he wasn't even asking us to take it off.
Right.
He was just kind of explaining his point of view.
Right, yeah, I mean,
why did he do something? He's standing right
there. Why would you think that your buddy was going to run off the balcony and flip over?
You know what? My buddy's not going to run.
Yeah, you would think that, but then when he does it, you're kind of like,
just try and stop.
Shit,
just try, I'll try and stop.
But see, but after the fact, you're like, I guess we should have stopped him from doing that right now. But you don't know until it's actually happened, and that's the problem. And so what's happened lately is that anytime something stupid, like normally if it's like, you know, some redneck in a trailer park killed somebody else, well, you know, we're probably not getting repercussions. But if it's some kind of...
They're not hiding it.
They're
illiterate.
But in general, if it's like some kind of a college party and something bad happens, I mean, that's almost a guarantee. And unfortunately, on the other side of the coin, celebrity stuff too now. Like, really? It almost always gets back to him.
Well, my question is, like, you know, there's been some problems with, like, the French news agency and Google News.
Right,
do you have any problem with linking
that kind
of
stuff? No. No. We would ignore that in a heartbeat. I mean, I understand their complaint is basically the whole Nazi stuff or whatever, but you know what? Fuck them. I mean, honestly, I mean, not that I mean, honestly, and here's the thing. Both people will be surprised to hear this. I love France.
Really, I'm not talking about France. I'm saying like they have a problem with Google News.
You hate the French
linking to their news stories.
To Nazi stuff, actually. That's
was that what it was?
Yeah. Well, they have a problem with like deep linking stuff too. But here's the way.
That's what I was talking about.
If you made that stuff available, then there you go. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, honestly, the worst damage that Google News could do to these guys is not link them.
Right.
That's the worst thing they could do. That's so true. You know, I mean, it's a self fulfilling deal.
Where you go to?
But do you worry that you're... I'm sorry. Ty, go ahead. I'm so professional over here. I've got the mic. Got the mic over here. You better recognize.
Go ahead, Ty.
So are there scenarios that you can foresee that constitute jumping the shark and you're protecting yourself again?
If we become mainstream news.
Okay.
I had a buddy of mine. In a really bizarre conversation I had with somebody, something completely unrelated. The Kentucky elects their governors on odd years. Like 2003 was the last election. And in 2002, when people were submitting their stuff for Kentucky governor, there was nobody really that was made any sense for like somebody. Nobody was really throwing their hat into the ring that would say, I would vote for this guy. And I was talking to a guy that was doing a radio show at the time who was 55 years old. And he'd been radio for 30 years at that point. And we were talking about it. I was like, you know, I had a win. He's like, you should. You'd probably win. He's like, but I wouldn't recommend it. And I said, why is that? This guy had worked on several different political campaigns. And he said, in my experience in politics, it is much better to be the guy calling the shots behind the scenes than to be the guy out in front. Yeah,
Dick
exactly.
Cheney.
Good.
Dick Cheney.
Or lobbyists. The perfect example. Lobbyists don't want to get elected to government.
They want to
run the government.
Six figures.
And you can't do that when you're under scrutiny. Lobbyists don't ever come under scrutiny.
No.
Politicians come under scrutiny for accepting money from lobbyists. No one ever scrutinizes why the lobbyists give them money.
Right, right.
But so the upshot of it is that as far as like where we want to be, that's where we want to stay. We don't want to be the news. We want to be the guys that are behind them. We want to be the ones that everybody, like, and let me give you a good example. Our database, we lost 2 days worth of data in the last couple of days because of just, it's an internal fuck up, basically, the bottom line. No, it was not mechanical, not server oriented, whatever. But I had to back out all the total FARC subscriptions that came in the last 48 hours. On April 6th, 2 days ago, a PayPal account called CNN signed up for a Total FARC account from a guy that I didn't recognize. I know a couple other CNN guys that have Total FARC accounts, and they said it wasn't official either, and they didn't know who the guy was. But the upshot of it was like they're not the first major news network that I've seen sign up for. In fact, the number of Clear Channel accounts signed up for Total FARC accounts have been fairly high. The upshot, yeah. And the reason that they're doing it...
You're like the new Reuters?
Well, it isn't that. It's just that they're not looking for us because we're creating the news. They're looking at us to try to find out what we think is cool.
Right.
Because
right.
They feel like
you're
we're
creating
they,
news, but,
no,
but
exactly. you
have
it. Yeah,
you help them out.
Yeah, that little yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you have but you have a different kind of wellspring.
They feel like we're good at spotting the shit that they ought to be talking about, and that's why they're watching.
Comedy site.
Yeah, we're not coming up with this stuff. We're spotting it better than they are.
So I want to know this. So if, like, Turner comes up to you and wants to give you a couple $1 million or something for FARC.
They've got to overcome the amount of fun I'm having, and they've got to overcome the fact that, like, this is my third business, and I have the utmost respect for not having asshole shareholders. I do not want some idiot telling me what to do under any circumstances, and they've got to overcome that by a long shot. They have their work cut out for them. I doubt it.
Yeah,
good example. The last major deal I turned down, I had a $300,000 a month deal on the table in August last year for pop-ups.
For pop-ups?
Yep.
$300,000 a month.
Yep. Because I don't need the money.
No. It's cool.
I mean, like to have $300,000 a month. I mean, anybody would. But I'm not suffering. I mean, there's nothing that I want to buy that I can't. I mean, within reason. I mean, you know, I mean, I would like to buy Las Vegas, but, you know, I mean, my house is big enough. I got a couple cars. I got all the CDs I want.
Drive,
I mean,
Drew?
We have two Solaris. Camry Solaris.
They're like little...
They're two-door Camrys. That's it, yeah. So, I mean, middle-of-the-road stuff, basically. Yeah, nothing major.
Dude, hit it. Dory, you're on.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to follow up on Ty's question about jumping the shark, and that you were talking about having...
What's going to happen?
I love my microphone.
Cancer.
Well, that's one sarcasm that's just completely out the window right there. And honestly, I'll be so happy when that happens. I really will. Because that's one that should not be there. That's why that exists, because it should not happen. They should not be doing stupid-ass studies when there's legitimate stuff to cover. They should be taking care of the real issues. That's the joke.
I don't know.
This interview's only got about an inch of beer left. So.
I know. I'll go to the beer run.
Why don't we talk for a couple more minutes and we'll go to the bar with him. We'll talk some more off the air. You know?
There's a lot of light in here.
I was just curious. Like, when you start to take into account that your larger audience and the celebrities and the frat boys and all these people, are you worried about losing your edginess because you're starting to become a little bit more kinder, gentler, trying to not hurt people's feelings?
Well, it kind of depends because, like, I mean, for stuff that happens where, like, there's victims involved, I'm not too worried about it. For celebrities doing stupid shit, it's kind of like, well, it just depends on what kind of stuff it is. Like,
Herself, always a target.
Yeah, exactly. Good example. Like, I mean, or like, you know, Lindsay Lohan hooking up with Bruce Willis at the latest, you know, party. Well, that's fucking retarded. Yeah. You know, no way about it. You know, at the same time. But then there's this stuff that hits the media that is really nobody's business at all and should never have been reported on in the first place. And that's the stuff that we're going to kind of avoid. But, you know, if you're making an ass out of yourself in public, honestly, I mean, there's a certain attention whore factor involved in that.
But isn't there a certain amount of bad taste inherent into the whole fart thing? I mean, like, you're talking about how, like, the difference between good humor, and good taste and bad taste and a sense of dignity.
Yeah, it's a fine line to walk, and I would be the last guy to say that we adhere to it. I mean, without a doubt. But, you know, it's like you got a goal and you either hit or you don't, you know, either way.
Well, that was my complaint during the Pope thread. I even threw something up there after he died. This is when he died.
Yeah,
that I said, you know, I was like, you know, I didn't enjoy the fact that every other poster seemed to be, you know, beseeching the mods.
Yeah.
I was like, let's take the low road here. That's what I come here for. That's why I cherish Fark, is because it's a place where... You know, you can do that.
Yeah.
And you can say these kind of tasteless or heartless or whatever kinds of things. And I'm not saying that you're... I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I felt like everyone's like, R.I.P. J., you know, PJ, you know, all this kind of bullshit. And I'm like, come on. You know, this is like, everybody's, you know, kind of putting on a, like, putting on this little show here. And,
yeah,
you know, kind of
basically,
you know?
Yeah. It's like, I'm saying, I'm fighting the man. He's dead
now.
But
you know, but everybody, you know, somebody comes on and says, like, hey, man, you know, I'm not Roman Catholic, so the Pope didn't give a shit about me.
Yeah, right.
And, which is, in a lot of ways, true. And,
sure, yeah.
And then somebody cuts on and says, how can you fucking say that? He died. He's an awesome humanitarian. Thank you, mods, for cleaning it up. You know, all that stuff. Yeah. You know, what are you talking about,
It's a back and forth thing. I mean, the upshot of it is whenever somebody dies, we just kind of like, you know, cut them some flag. This is the last chapter. You'll never see a link about this guy ever again.
And probably.
Unless something bizarre happens, like a carpet explodes in the grave.
Exhumed the Pope's corpse.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see he's buried in three coffins?
Yeah, just close the door. How do you get buried in three coffins?
It's like one inside, like one of them damn Russian dolls. He's like, been like a Cyprus coffin inside of a zinc coffin inside of a... you know, some other, like mahogany or some shit.
He's
like,
the 261st fucking Pope.
Yeah.
And that...
You know why? I mean, think about it, okay? Over 2,000 years, what is that, one or 3 years? You know why? Because they used to assassinate each other for 3 years.
Oh,
Think about that.
There's a link called... There's a website called JesusNeverExisted.com. And it's all about how Jesus just an amalgam of... There were 10 Jesuses or something like that.
They were all
crucified and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he does a whole thing about the popes. And it's like... It's horrific, like, from, like, the year 1000 on, like, they were pedophiles,
even
incestuous,
they
were married, all the shit about, I mean, Martin Luther, they were talking about him, like, being, like, one of the most intolerant, horrible people that ever walked the aisle. It's kind of unbelievable.
You can interpret anything any different way.
It's unbelievable. Fark is a place where I go to maybe get get a little insight on that kind of underbelly of everything.
Well, and the way the stuff is moderated on Fark, it isn't about ideas, it's about delivery.
Sure.
If you say, fuck you fucking fuck.
Yeah, that's worth it.
Well, that's deleted.
Yeah.
But if you say, I think you're an idiot, and here's the following reasons why, and then write a 3-page thesis, that's going to keep.
Yeah.
What if you said fuck you, you fucking fuck, but it came with a picture of Admiral Akbar, or said dude sucks at the end or something like that?
Probably spelled
fucking
trap.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, Fark, the way the mod is really good, it's never about content, it's about context.
Okay.
Are the boobies submitted by other people, or do you go find them?
They're submitted by other people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard too because I don't even look at it. Honestly, the wieners links that get posted are funny taglines.
I found one to Toby Maguire. He's hung.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's that webpage?
It's like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I was like, really, Toby Maguire?
Yeah.
There he is.
Wow. I'm now a fan.
You already were a fan.
But I'll tell you what, a funny thing about the Wieners links, though, is, like, before we started doing those, I had no idea, but there is actually, there's a Wiener civil war between the straight chicks and the gay men, because they don't like the same stuff. The gay men like the same stuff that the straight men like. Men are visually oriented. We like the hot chicks. The gay men like the hot men. Women are not visually oriented, and what they like is, what the women like is, like, the only thing that we ever saw close, visually speaking, the women went crazy over was a link that we posted several years ago, which was an archive of 50s and 60s bodybuilders. There you go, right there, see? I'm telling you. Let me explain why.
Why?
Because the 50s and 60s.
Sean Connery was Mr. Universe in 1953?
It was Lou Ferrigno, back when he was doing The Incredible Hulk. Yeah. It's because they were soft. Not because they were not strong, it's because their cut was soft.
They weren't like super vascular.
Think about Lou Ferrigno in The Incredible Hulk. Yeah. He was smooth. Yeah. Think about Sylvester Stallone, veiny and hard. Lou Ferrigno was like, he was just kind of like, but think about like a hot athletic chick, they're smooth also. It's the same damn thing. Everybody falls in for the same deal. But that's the one that the women went nuts over. The straight women went crazy over those guys.
How did that manifest itself?
I started getting email from guys going, "What the fuck is going on here?" But getting complaint letters from the gay guys. No, you can't post that shit. No one cares about this, you know. And I'm like,
what about the lesbians in the movies? Any
lesbians and the straight guys like the same thing. They do, without a doubt. I had a long conversation with the gal that my wife was going to college with right after G.I. Jane came out about how hot Demi Moore was. And me and this chick talked for an hour and a half. The gay gals and the straight guys like the same shit. The gay men and the straight women do not like the same shit.
Lucky for you,
Art. Yeah. But it's all about how women like it. Men like visual, women don't. Women like the perceived stuff, but the whole Kirby thing was like a shock. I had no idea, but the women like the curvy guys. They like them strong, but they like them defined and curvy. They want to see a muscle here, and a muscle here, and a muscle here, but no veins.
Well, here's the curvy man.
Yeah. Here's the no veins.
But like I said, but you see, guys don't like veins on women either. It's the same deal. In fact, I mean, talking about the same kind of thing, there was Anna Nicole Smith, who's probably like the most ugliest, like despicable human beings on the planet. One of her Playboy pictorials was her posing next to guys. I don't know. Did anybody else see this? Nobody else says. So basically, she was flexing next to guys, but she was naked in one of her pictorials. But like the guys were not veinous, and it was totally hot because it was the same kind of thing. Because she was built. I mean, she had muscles, but it was just smooth.
Yeah.
Just smooth and curvy the whole way
around. She was a specimen for a minute.
Yeah.
Fake boobs though.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But they look pretty good for a minute there.
Well, the only time fake boobs look good is when they work and like as a whole deal.
Well, that's the thing. Her body could handle really, her frame. Really exactly.
She had a frame to where if she had the fake boobs, they looked like they fit. Yeah. Exactly. Where fake boobs look horrible is when like Tara Patrick.
No, the one. Oh, those are terrible. Or
Tara Patrick's
or
new fake boobs.
Veronica Zamanova's fake boobs.
Yes, exactly.
Or, but the link you had like 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah,
those were totally wide.
I was talking about those with somebody else.
Totally fucking walleyed. Just horrible.
They were hideous.
Have you seen the ones with the string ones? Where they implant a little irritant in like the breast tissue, and for whatever reason it causes the tissue to grow. I mean, that's how the breast tissue responds to this little like string they put in there, like Minka.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen like Minka or Serena Lee or any of those?
Oh yeah.
They're absurd.
It's like an oyster,
It is. It is kind of like that. That's how they get like. I mean, they don't like a lot of doctors like most of them, like won't do it anymore. The proportions. I mean, I guess there's a whole segment of men who are, you know, this is the greatest thing that they've ever.
90% of guys don't like the fake.
They go into the boob cruises and stuff.
Well, let me tell you, the first time I realized there was a problem was when I came across a boobie site where it was pictures of just boobs,
like no head,
there's breasts, like no head, like cut off here.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's a full package deal. That's what's attractive. But there are some freakos out there. They want to see, like, boobs. Let's see mounds of flesh with some dots on them. That's what we want to see. Dots.
That's
what
right.
The fuck is wrong with those guys?
That's right. I want to see the whole template.
I tell you what, here's the thing. Okay, straight women like boobs, too.
I want to know what is going on.
And most straight women do. And the thing about it is, like, 90% of the guys will like the exact same damn thing, but it's all about context. Yeah. It's not about boobs.
Yeah.
Flesh mound with dots on them. Wow. That's the 10% of the freakos out there. Everybody else is kind of like, does she look nice? Is she having a good time? Yeah. Does she have a friend that fits? I mean,
is she a friend?
Exactly.
Well, those guys see two dartboards next to each other. Like,
yeah,
can't
just like, whatever,
you know?
Man. Or just paint them over flesh color. And
I agree with you. I mean, that's, you know, it takes all like the humanity.
Beer.
Yeah.
All right,
As a Maryland Terrapins fan, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. That's right.
It's really nice to meet
you. As long as Maryland knocks off Duke at least once a year, it's all good.
Well, twice this year. But
yeah,
they didn't even make the fucking tournament.
They
didn't make the goddamn
tournament. That was ridiculous.
That's because they shot.
Well, they lost to Clemson three times.
Yeah.
And Clemson was no good.
Yeah, Maryland's
and the door's out.
That's it.
Let's go get
a beer. We're boring everybody. There to get
the
shit out of the
UCC. Let's go.
There you go. All right, cheers, man.
We don't have a human tornado to close things down
tonight. We should probably find Jason. No, we're all right. I think I'll go do that. Will you hang out for a second?
Right there. Yeah.